did want to make a quick announcement while people are still gathering. For those of you that did buy the book through the church for the discounted price of $99, I mentioned before that includes access to all the classes online with Financial Peace. And then also there's some other financial calculators, et cetera. I was told, I haven't been able to verify this, but the Every Dollar app, you can actually just go to the App Store. Has anybody done that? You can just do it. It's free, I guess. Does it cost any money? Okay. So that's not necessarily a perk of having bought the book, but the others are. And so what you could do is after the class tonight or anywhere during the class, Sister Roman is going to be here, I believe. And if she's not, we'll make sure we get this to her tomorrow. But if you could give us just your name, and actually we have a list of it, but it would help if you just come and give. Sister Jennifer, do you mind helping me with this? Is if everybody would just go to Sister Jennifer after class and that bought the book, give them your first last name, and Sister Roman will enter that in whatever place, and you'll get an email, and you'll be able to log in and so on. Get all the stuff that's associated with that. So, makes sense? Any questions with that? All right. Why don't we go ahead and stand tonight? And I want to say thank you to everyone for coming. And did anybody sell anything this week? Did you? Good. Anybody else? Anybody have a garage sale? Craigslist? Anybody think about it? What'd you sell? Did anybody have a garage sale? You had a garage sale. Good. All right. As we'll pray, we'll talk about this a minute after our praying, but we'll talk a little bit about the emergency fund and the budget, and then we'll get into the lesson tonight. So let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for this beautiful group of people that are here tonight, and we ask that you would bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. Amen. Shake hands with somebody before you're seated. Tell them Craigslist. Offer up, yeah. Real quick, the recording. Some have asked about the recording for last week. Brother Tom wasn't able to be here, Sister Andrina, and we are recording it. And if you'll go to our church website under media, and then Financial Peace University. It's pretty straightforward. So media, it'll bring up Financial Peace University, and then I assume you enter the password there, ILCFPU, Inland Lighthouse Church. Financial Peace University. I'm going to say it again. ILCFPU. Does it matter if it's in caps or not? Both ways work. So ILCFPU. If you have any questions, call the church office. And Gavin has no idea, but you guys will have a great conversation because Gavin's a nice guy. All righty, everybody ready to get started? We're ready. So just to do a little very quick review last week, if you weren't here, really, well, maybe you guys can help me. What was our, if you had to sum up, what was our number one takeaway from last week? Brother Donovan is passing some stuff around. Everybody grab a paper, actually two sheets you should end up with. Okay, I heard free spirits. That's good. What else should we, Sister Jana? Baby step number one, which was emergency fund, which was how much? $1,000. Okay, now I do want to clarify this just in case this goes, you're not expected to do this by the next lesson, okay? Again, like we said last week, for some, it's just a matter of taking $1,000 that you have in savings and relabeling it. If you're in that position, then God bless you. Be happy and thankful. For the majority, you're probably not in that position. So the goal is save $1,000 and label it emergency fund. You want it to be a little bit hard enough to get that You know, when the emergency is, you want Baskin-Robbins, Starbucks. That's not an emergency. So that's number one. What was the other big deal we wanted to start last week? Wanted to get something going. Nerds, free spirits, budget. How many, I'm going to put you on the spot, how many put a budget of some kind together, even if you don't feel like it's all dialed in? This is beautiful. God bless you. Okay, I'm putting them down quick so we don't look at the ones that didn't raise their hand. I do want to tell you this. This is very much contingent on a budget. It's just not going to work. It's not going to flow without it. And so I would encourage you this week, if you know, and we talked about it was the nerd's responsibility to put this together. If you have two free spirits, you just have to do it together. And if there's two nerds, then you guys arm wrestle to see who gets to do it. But somebody's got to put it together. And and what was the other part when you do this budget? How long do you think it'll take? We said to give it how much time? Sister, at least 3 months. And why was that? Yeah. It ain't going to work, quite frankly. It ain't going to work the first month. You got to balance it out. But I promise you, even that first month, it's going to be better than it's been. And the second month, it'll get better. By the third month, you'll start to feel, and you won't have to be doing these drastic retakes every month. So give yourself some time. But I would encourage, please, right now, find time. If you got to set it on your calendar over the next week and put a budget together, that very much is an essential part of this. And so let's start on our baby step one, the emergency fund. I had somebody text me this week that they got their emergency fund. They were able to sell some stuff, do garage sales, and they were really happy about that. So a part of this class really is testimonials. Nobody has to if they don't want to, but if you want, it will encourage others. If you feel like saying, hey, I was able to, you know, sell my wife's cat that I've hated all this, and we got an emergency fund. That will motivate some brethren, I promise you. All right. Everybody got one. You should have two papers there. And one is, when you don't need them, just kind of set them off to the side. Does anybody, well, they're still passing them out. As soon as you've got those, we'll begin. I do want to say a great big thank you again to my wife, Sister Marissa McVeigh, Jessica. I don't know if Justin was helping carry things. No, Justin didn't help his sisters tonight, but we like Justin anyway. But I want to say a big thank you to them for doing the refreshments and so on. And, yes, very much appreciated. And I want to say, again, a huge thank you to Sister Roman. And, again, Sister, where'd you go, Sister Roman? There she is. I don't mean to embarrass you, but if you could raise your hand real quick. She's the one, if you could fill out, there's a card in your book. And basically, it's your first and last name. Is that correct, Sister? Okay, we need your first and last name. That way she can get that. And you can get the email and the information. All right, everybody have your papers? Brother Philip needs one. I actually need one of each. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. I want to begin with, now remember, our first baby step dealt with an emergency fund, a $1,000 emergency fund. Now, we want to deal with baby step number two. And baby step number two, are you ready, is to pay off all debt except the house using the debt snowball. We're going to talk about this tonight. You will not even begin this process until you've done baby step one, and that saved $1,000. Okay? But we want to pay off all debt. Everybody say, all debt. All debt. All debt except the house using the debt snowball. Now, we live in America, and part of the American dream is beautiful. I love the American dream. I believe in the American dream. I believe in America. But I believe there is a pressure that is perhaps sometimes self-imposed, other times others will impose on us, that we have to have everything right now. I got married, been married 20 minutes, and somebody's asking, where did you buy a house yet? Time to buy a house. You got to buy a house. And I'm all in favor of people owning their house. I'm a big proponent of that. But can I tell you, buying a house is not the financial answer to your life. If you're broke and you buy a house, you will just be broker, much broker. And so the pressure to buy a house, to have a brand new car, have a $500 purse. Others expect me to have it. What's wrong with you? Why are you driving that old vehicle? And it's just part of life. I got a house, now I got to have it remodeled. Got to have new floor, got to have new kitchen, got to have, and it's just part of the pressure. Some of you have heard me tell this before. Brother I.H. Terry was a pastor in Bakersfield. How many have heard us or heard him referred to at some time? Some of you have not. He was just an old preacher, an elder, and a very unique character. Had a way of, when you met him, Brother Chad, you never forgot him. I remember as a kid, I remember him teaching here. Anybody remember him teaching here? Were you here, Brother Lee? Wow. Julian, Philip, raise your hand. I'm curious. Sister Morgan, man, the bunch you do. Wow. That's pretty neat to be able to tell people you heard Brother Terry. And anytime he taught, I'd be on that front row, and there was a part of me that was just, I was fascinated, but I was scared because you never knew what he was going to do. But he had a way of teaching so that you never forgot. And Brother Von Morton, another great elder preacher, tells the story that when he was a young man, he went to Bakersfield. And one day they were at the house, and Brother Terry took him to the side of his house. And there was a sidewalk going down the house with a gate. And he opened up the gate and kind of swung it back and forth. And he said, "You like that gate?" And Brother Morton's like, "Yeah, very nice." And he shut the gate and he said, "It takes a long time to get a gate." And that was the end of that day's lesson. Brother Morton's just like, okay. A few days later, I mean, he would do this, just kind of mess with your head, but you never forgot it. A few days later, he's in the front of the house, and he pointed at the lawn, and he said, "You know, it takes a long time to get a lawn." And then he just continued about their business. A few days later, this is a long revival Brother Morton was in with Brother Terry. They were visiting again, and he said something like, "Well, see this sidewalk in front of my house? It takes a long time to get a sidewalk." He did this like three or four times, and Brother Morton was just kind of filing it away. Thought, you know, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe I'm just not, I don't know, I'm not catching the lesson, not sharp enough to get it yet. And one day, Brother Terry said, "You see this house?" "Yeah," and he knew what was coming. "It takes a long time to get a house." "Yeah, I knew that was coming." And he said, "Brother Morton, I have people in my church, young couples, just got married. They're working three jobs, working their fingers to the bone, working overtime. They're missing church. They can't even hardly function. Their marriage is on the rocks because they're doing everything they can to have everything that their parents have at 22 years old. But they don't understand. It takes a long time to get a gate. It takes years of saving, living, working to have a sidewalk and a yard and a house." And Brother Morton never forgot that lesson. I've never forgot that lesson. I hope you never forget that lesson. I love the American dream, but it takes a long time to have what your parents had and your grandparents had. And the pressure to have it now actually can be fixed easily because of a magic four-letter word called debt. Everybody say debt. Debt. And debt is considered, you know, a tool now. Debt is a tool. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Debt is your friend. Debt helps you get the gate and the sidewalk and the lawn. But I want to tell you, a better tool than debt is income. The money that you make. And when you get control of your income, get free from, as Dave Ramsey said, get free of your MasterCard, get free of Discover bondage. There really is a reason that these they call them the big four. What is it? Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. There's a reason. If you ever go to their headquarters, they're 30 stories tall and you live in an apartment. It's because they have a plan and you're part of that plan. And we are following their plan. And our income, in many cases, when we make those monthly credit card payments, is going to other people. Can you imagine what it'd feel like if you had no payments at all? Think about the liberty. Now, the idea of debt is really kind of a fairly new concept in America. And this is something Dave Ramsey really goes out of his way to point out. With, you know, our great-grandparents were probably borrowed, Brother Lee, on almost nothing. Just about nothing. Our grandparents, maybe one or two things. Our parents, and I got great parents, they're wise with money, but parents across the board in America, quite a bit. And we borrow on everything. You can borrow to buy a dog. And how stupid is that? The only thing more stupid than that would be borrowing to buy a cat, and you can do that. We live in America. And the reason that debt is so prevalent is because it's the most marketed. Did you know debt is the most marketed thing, most marketed product in the world? Now, that's pretty impressive. They spend more money on it. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express alone, just those four spent $4 billion last year to sell you debt. Billion. That means, and it's hard for us to wrap our head around billion because our government's like trillions in debt. So billion, that's kind of like, you know, Bill Gates is a billionaire. You know, that's not that big a deal. Can I tell you, it's a big deal. $4 billion, let's do it this way. That would be the same as if 20,000 people bought a house for $200,000. We have, think about that. And they spent they're after us, and they're very good at marketing. Now, how do you get out of debt? Where does this even come from? I will tell you, you don't do it just because you think, wake up one day and it's kind of like a new idea. There's got to be a radical paradigm shift in our thinking. We've got to have a new vision. We've got to understand. Really what's got to happen is there's got to be some knowledge that has to be imparted to us. We have to get it. We have to understand that debt is not our friend. Did you know that 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck? The number one cause of divorce in America is finances and money fights. So I'll tell you, if that's the normal in America, I'm not interested in that kind of normal. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I believe God wants us to be a blessed people. I firmly believe that in reading my Bible. Now, he's not going to bless me just because I want it. There are principles that make a difference. Now, how do you get there? I want to tell you, knowledge is what will change us. And here's an interesting verse. Proverbs 22 and verse number 7. If somebody has a Bible or a phone that can pull it up, I'd like for somebody to read that for me. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7. If you have it, just start reading it out. Okay, the rich rules over the poor. That's pretty strong language. Next. The borrower is slave to the lender. Can I tell you, debt is slavery. This is what the Bible says over and over. The borrower is a slave to the lender. And again, the idea of broke people should buy a house, I'm going to just tell you, buying a house when you're broke just makes you more broke. I want you to buy a house. I believe God wants you to buy a house. But when you can afford to own your house instead of your house owning you. The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. I had my brother bring some of these. These are chains. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is the Bible concept of what debt is. Dave Ramsey talked about how, and again, who are we enslaved to? To the lender. It's talking about Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover Card. These are literally modern day slave owners, and we are the slaves. Now imagine if you had no debt. And I'm talking to people tonight. We all know what it is if we're not to carry this. Can you imagine if you were able to free yourself of this? You go Monday morning to work, and your jerk of a boss is a jerk again, and he starts talking to you, and just reaming you over the coals. Could you imagine? I mean, and he's being totally unreasonable, not just being a boss, right? Totally being unreasonable, and you start, and he says, "Hey, where are you going?" And you say, "I've got no payments. I don't have to be here." Can you imagine the liberty? And I'm not advising you just to quit your job, but I am telling you, there is power in not having this wrapped around you. Chains that the Bible says are very clearly on people in this room. The borrower is slave to the lender. But I will tell you, there is a way out of this. There is a way out of this. And just that little conversation there, somebody walking out of a job from a boss that has not been right, not treating them right, that little taste, that little thought that went to your mind, that little part of you that said, I'd love to do that, that's just a taste of the freedom that you can have in being set free from this kind of bondage. It's like Dave Ramsey often says, you can live like no one else now so that you can live and give like no one else. Now, I want to move quickly through some of this. So let's talk about credit cards. All right? I got some credit cards right here. Can I use this one too? All right. Credit cards. It's funny. These are really like gift cards, but they're going to have to work tonight. So here's some things that people often say about credit cards. And some of these I've been guilty of. Number one, how do you, because I travel a lot. What about renting cars and hotels? I was with somebody not too long ago. I told one of you this. And I was in the hotel at a conference. A man that I know from a neighboring church was trying to rent a room. All he had was cash. They would not rent him a room. They wouldn't. Did you know you can't get a hotel room? I mean, maybe some of the cheapy ones on Valley, I guarantee you. But you can't get a Hilton or a Holiday Inn, just a decent hotel without a credit card. That's because you bring a pet, somebody smokes, they want to be able to go after you for the cleaning fee and so on, which makes sense. I actually had to get the guy's room for him, and he had to give me cash. Now, the question is, how do I do that? Yeah, don't I need a credit card? The short answer is no, you don't have to have a credit card. You can have a debit card. And a debit card has the same fraud protection. There's a zero liability fraud protection Visa. How many have ever been hacked or had somebody? It's amazing. I've had it happen a bunch. I say, three or four times anyway. And it's amazing how motivated the banks are to help you. They really do a good job of it. I've never been out a dollar. But the difference with debit cards and credit cards is you cannot spend more money than you have. You're not Congress. You don't get to spend more money than you have. And so there's one idea about credit cards. You don't have to have it to rent a car or a hotel. Number two, here's just the idea as far as debts. You'll always have a car payment. The thought that you'll always have a car payment. I want to tell you, you don't have to have a car payment. Now, right now, some of you are going, huh? You got to have some new knowledge in order to have a change. The average car payment is a $508, and if that over and typically over 84 months, this is per the Auto Dealer Association, $508 over 7 years. Do you know if you invested $500 in a Roth IRA at a growth in a growth fund from age 30 to age 70, you would have $5 to $6 million when you got it out? I have a question. How much do you need that car? I know you need a car. I didn't say don't. I said that car. And I like cars, but I don't like them that much. Dave Ramsey told about, he was on the radio, and a guy called him. He's from Texas. And he said, Dave, he said, you're going to hate me. And What'd you do? And he said, I got a truck payment. Well, how much is it? He said, $769. And Dave said, well, how much is your, you know, your house payment? And he said, I live in a double wide, $550. You know, if you're paying more for your car payment than your house payment, Dave Ramsey probably will hate you. How bad do you need that car? That car. I know you need a car. I'm not California that wants everybody to ride around on a scooter or a little bicycle. Some of you know, have seen my brother on his scooter. Amen. I know you need a car, but do you need, some of us need to amputate some of these payments. That may be the single best thing you do financially in your life. How about this one? I need a credit card to build up my FICO score. Okay? We've all heard that. And did you know your FICO score, this is on the FICO website, it is 100% based on your interaction with debt. It has nothing to do with your money. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in savings. You could be a multi-millionaire. And if you're not interacting with debt, your FICO score could be low. In fact, it's not built on wealth. It's not built on budget. It's not based on your wisdom. It's entirely based, 100% based. If you want to have a high credit score, do this. Borrow a lot of money over a long time and never miss a payment. The only part of that I like is don't miss a payment. I don't want to borrow a lot of money. It's 35% of your FICO score is based on debt history, debt payment history. 30% is based on level of debt, 15% on length of debt, 10% on type of debt, 10% on new debt. Do you know to have an 800 in your credit score? That probably cost you $100,000 in interest. I never thought of it that way before. Wow. And here's the cycle. You remember this when you came out of college. I gotta go into debt. Why? So I can get a high credit score. Why? So I can go into debt. Why? So I can get a high credit score, FICO score. So, and it's a dog chasing its tail. And some of you remember, well, I can't get a credit, or I can't get credit because I don't have credit, so I can't get credit. You remember that? And now you got credit, and you got it, and it's this thing. And so the cycle of debt. Here's another one. With a credit card, I get points and airline miles. Okay? When you use credit card instead of cash, did you know that you spend much more money because you don't feel it? Carnegie Mellon, this is a research company, did this study, and they found out that when you give cash, I have in my hand a $100 bill. Thank you, Jesus. When you give cash, it literally triggers the pain centers in your brain. It's like, oh! But when you do plastic, there's nothing. It's just like zip, 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 zip. Some of us are black belts in plastic. Just you're giving up nothing. The pain comes a month later if you even accept it then. And there's McDonald's did this deal. McDonald's, the fast food place, they found out that a person with cash spends 47% less than a person with plastic, 47% less. It's kind of like this. You go in, and you've got plastic. I go in with my brother, and I'm like, I'll take the number 4 large, and I want a shake, and I want an apple pie, and I want a, you know, whatever, the Starbucks version or McDonald's version of the caramel frappuccino, you know, and I'll pray for this guy right here. That's what plastic does. But you go in with cash, it's kind of like, where's the dollar menu? And this dude's on his own because there's no pain there. And this is just part of it. So the deal is you may get points, but you're not feeling it. You're spending more. Why do they give you points? Because they like you? No. Think about it. If you get 1% on your credit card, which one of mine does, that means if I spent $100,000 on my credit card over a lot of years, that means I would get $1,000 back. How many millionaires were formed by spending money on their credit card? I'm going to tell you, zero have ever been. There are, and now what's interesting is a smartphone. You can pay with your smartphone. If this is painless, this is absolutely, eventually we'll just walk into a building. I believe this is going to happen, and it's not conspiracy. It'd just be easy, wouldn't it? You've got some kind of chip or something in your wallet, and you just, it's probably happening already. Okay. How painless is that? You put it in your cart, and it's done. How about buying on Amazon? I love Amazon. I got to be careful with Amazon. It's so easy. You buy it, and they ring the doorbell. Here you are. And there are 20 trillion unused airline miles out there. Think about that. How many millionaires get rich with points or miles? They don't. All right, here's another one. Credit card is more secure than the debit card. I already mentioned that. No, it's not. There's a zero liability from your Visa, from the company. That's the same policy for both. How about this one? My teenager needs a credit card so that they can learn how to be responsible with money, says the dad that's broke and got and rung up on credit card bills. The truth of the matter is more students drop out of school because of finances than because of academic failure. Did you catch that? More students leave school because they can't, and it's not because they can't pay, it's they're just broke than the fact that they failed. How about this myth? We are really meddling now. A leased car is a smart idea. A leased car is a smart idea because here's the principle. You got to lease things that go down in value. There's also a tax advantage to it. The truth of the matter is that almost all Consumer Reports and a good calculator will tell you that a lease is the most expensive way to operate and finance a vehicle. 82% of millionaires have never had a car loan or a lease. Now, this doesn't mean because they're a millionaire. This means they became self-made millionaires. And so this leads, let me see here. This leads to this one here, this myth. I can get a good deal on a new car. Do you know a car loses 60% of its value in the first 5 years? Buy it in the sixth year. You want to know how to turn $35,000 into $13,000? How many would like to know how to do that? Buy a car for $35,000 in 5 years. We'll buy it. If you want to turn it into $5,000, buy a $35,000 car and then trade it in on year six. They'll give you $5,000 probably. And so I maybe one of the greatest things you could ever take out of this class is we're meddling, but hey, you're here, is buying new cars is a bad idea. Let somebody else lose that 60% of the car value. Here's another myth. A home equity loan is a good option for consolidating debt and a great substitute for emergency fund. In other words, I don't need that $1,000. I don't need a I've got home equity. I've got a home equity line. It's set up. It's ready to go. But let me tell you why that's a problem. And really, we know this. It's just common sense. Is when you're in the middle of an emergency, the worst thing to do is to pull out a bunch of money. Because borrowing money has never been the answer to an emergency. You're just turning an emergency into a crisis. All right, that's interesting. How about this one? Debt consolidation is smart. Okay? You save on interest, you get smaller payments. The truth of the matter is debt consolidation does nothing to change the behavior that got us into debt. Because over time, you just get more debt. And really, this is counter to everything. A smaller debt payment is not a good idea. And you're like, what? Because we want to pay more. We want to get rid of this stuff. We're going to get there in a minute. I want to be debt-free. Anybody interested in being completely debt-free? And so we need to think about that. Here's another myth about debt. Co-signing a loan is okay if it helps a friend or a relative. My grandson's a good guy. He needs a truck. My brother-in-law needs a truck, and I hope, the truth of the matter is the bank requires a co-signer because the person is not likely to pay it back. Banks lend money to dead people and dogs. They'll lend it to anybody. And if they're not going to lend it to your brother-in-law, it's probably because they know he ain't going to pay it back. So why would you be on that? Furthermore, here's the best reason in the world. The Bible says don't co-sign a loan. It's very clearly there. Don't co-sign a loan. Here's another one. We're going through some of these quickly. You can't go to college without debt, without incurring student loan. Here's the truth. 68% of millionaires with college degrees never took out a student loan. This doesn't mean they were millionaires in college. It means they had the habits of a millionaire. Here's some good books. Anybody ever heard of the book, The Millionaire Next Door? Excellent book. And what it does, the guy began by he wanted to study millionaires. And Brother Dario, he wanted to find millionaires. So he went to Beverly Hills. He was shocked to find a lot of those people aren't millionaires. Now, they make incredible incomes. They may be making $500,000 a year. They may be making $1 million a year. But they're not millionaires. If you subtract their debt from their net worth, or their basically what they're worth, you subtract their debt from that, their net worth is less than $1 million. They're not millionaires. Where you go to find them, this guy found often, is just good guys that are living. And it's not even necessarily based on income. It's based on lifestyle. It's based on lifestyle. And that's an interesting book to read. And so back to this student debt deal. I'm going to tell you, it's a scary deal. College degrees. Students are leaving college on average with owing $39,000. The delinquency rate for college loans is 11.2%. It's the highest in the industry. There's now $1.5 trillion in student debt. I heard a while back that it was going to be bigger than credit card debt. And now, does that mean you don't go to college? Well, it means, in baby step five, we'll talk about how you can pay for your college, how you can pay for your college. Here's a good rule of thumb if you're going to college or your child is, encourage them to get a degree in something that's marketable, usable. Not basket weaving. Not, you know, get it something that'll make money. If that's what your goal is. And if that's why you're going to college. So here's the summary of all that stuff that we threw out there. You ready? When people say that debt is a tool to create prosperity, no. Debt is proof that the borrower is slave to the lender. The Bible says, say no to debt. You ought to hate debt. Here's some interesting stats. 73% of millionaires have never had credit card debt. As young people, they just eschewed it. They hated it. 82% of millionaires have never had a car loan. I mentioned that one already. 81% of millionaires have never borrowed from family or friends. And 94% of millionaires currently live on less than they make. This is interesting. So, the most powerful wealth-building tool is not debt. Everybody say it's not debt. It's income. It's the money that's coming into you. The most powerful wealth-building thing is the money. And so, that's where we got to deal with this idea. Don't give it away on payments. You can't give it away. You can't give it away monthly. You can't. And how do we? You got to take it back. You got to know that debt is dumb. And here's the most important thing maybe I'll say tonight. It's not too late for you to get out of debt. It's not too late. Because here's the thing. It's not a math thing. I'm a math guy. I like math. I'm a nerd, I confess. I like budgets, and my wife does too. We two nerds in one home. But it's not a math thing. Dave Ramsey talks about how he'll have people calling on the radio. This is a guy making $100,000 a year. He's got $40,000 in debt, and he says, "I cannot get out. I'm stuck. I cannot get out." And then he'll have a guy call in the very next call. "I'm making $40,000 a year. I owe $100,000 in debt, and I'm debt free." What's the difference? It's not a math thing. The difference is a knowledge thing. It's a passion thing. It's part of him that said, I'm done. I'm sick of this. I ain't living this way one more day. In fact, every one of us in this room, I'm not here to make you run the aisles, but I'm here to tell you, there's got to be a part of you that gets to the point where you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I work too hard. I got too many degrees. I work too many hours to be this broke. I'm changing something. And when you get to that point, things begin to change. Now, how many like the book of Proverbs? All of us do, right? How many know that how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? 31. It's a good book to read. A good book to read one chapter a day. Some of you have done that. And it's just a book of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. And there's more financial advice in Proverbs than you'll certainly find in 4 years of college. I promise you that. Chapter number 6 is an interesting chapter, though. And it's a chapter. Now, the book of Proverbs is in the main written a father talking to his son. And in chapter six, verse number 1, the dad looks at his son and he says, if you have signed for a surety, if you are in debt, this is what you should do. Wow, are you listening? The Bible says, if you're in debt, this is what you should do. God is saying, wow, some of us ought to be paying attention right now. God has a solution for debt. Oh, wow. If you're in debt, this is what you should do. Well, you read down a little bit further. I think it's verse 4 or 5. It says, don't give your eyes to sleep. Your eyelids to slumber, which makes total sense, right? Don't be lazy. We get that. And then I think it's verse number 5 or 6. It makes this statement. Deliver thyself as a roe, which is a deer. One version puts it as gazelle. Everybody say gazelle. Dave Ramsey. Gazelle. Everybody say gazelle. Deliver thyself as a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. Dave Ramsey uses this often. How many have heard of gazelle-like intensity? Okay, if you've heard of anything of Dave Ramsey, he's always talking about it. Now, so he says, I was reading this passage, and it says, if you're in debt, do this. And he said, I was so excited. I was broke, and I was like, God's about to answer my... And I get to the part, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And he's like, God, surely you can do better than that. I mean, what does that got, animals? What's that got to do with Visa and MasterCard? Help me here. This matters. God is speaking about debt, and he's telling me about gazelles. He started thinking about a gazelle, and he's beginning to study on them. And he heard about how, you know, a cheetah will often chase gazelles in Africa. And how many know a fact about cheetahs? What's a pretty prominent fact about cheetahs? They're fast. I've always heard they're like 70 miles an hour. He said on the deal that's 82 miles an hour. Either way, that's really fast. In 4 bounds, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, they can go from 0 to 67. That's awesome. They're fast start. And there's no gazelle in the world that can outrun a cheetah. But he found out that only 1 in 19 times does the cheetah get the gazelle. Did you hear that? 82 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, whatever it is. I think a gazelle probably runs 40 miles an hour. But 0 to 67 in 4 bounds, but only 1 in 19 times. Now, how in the world is that? Here's the deal. A gazelle is motivated. His motivation is death. The cheetah's motivation is lunch. Death wins every time. And 1 out of 19 times, because that gazelle, he's watching the whole time. He's intense. And here's his number one response. He runs like crazy from the cheetah. You want to know how to get away? You want to know how to deliver yourself from debt? Run like crazy from debt. There needs to be a part of you that gets so sick of this that says, God, I'm tired of working like this. I have worked so hard. I work hours, and I can't seem to break free. The answer is not math. The answer is not being smart enough. The answer is just passion and behavior. And if I sound like I'm motivating like Zig Ziglar, well, I wish I could. Because somebody needs to get tired of death, of finance, of debt being on your heels and be motivated. What's interesting too is the Bible says deliver yourself. Did you catch that? Deliver yourself. I can't deliver you. Your spouse can't deliver you. God won't deliver you. I'll show you how. This Dave Ramsey stuff really does work. There may be other things that work. I know there is. But millions of people, in fact, more people have been got out of debt under this program than anybody else in the world. That's pretty impressive. Dave Ramsey's not a braggart when you hear him talk, but he does say things like, I have seen more people get out of debt than any other human being in the world. What a cool thing to say. And it's true. And so we can show you how. We can show you it's possible. When you get done, you're going to believe it's possible. But you got to deliver yourself. You got to set that budget. You got to sell stuff, anything that's not nailed down. And then if it's nailed down, unnail it, grab it, and sell it. So everybody said amen. We got about 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. I don't know that I'll be totally done with this, but I want to be done enough that we do a little bit. We'll definitely be done by 8:30. Is that good? Still awake? You guys are doing good. You guys have been working, and God bless you for being here. All right, so here's the question. How do I get out of debt? Let's do some steps. Everybody say, how do I get out of debt? Look at your neighbor and say, how do I get out of debt? Number one, quit borrowing more money. Don't borrow more money. Let's see here. Brother Frank, can you come help me? So, I'm afraid I'd cut my arm off. Maybe we should have somebody else come help you. Sister Laura, why don't you come help him too? And why don't we have her cut? And so if the finger gets cut off, it's yours. That'd probably be better than Sister Laura's. You're supposed to say, yes, that's right. That was a great moment to get brownie points. Mother's Day was yesterday, Brother Frank. I can't believe this. So, okay. So, I want you just to start chopping up. So, I've got an old Disneyland passport. Oh, help us, Jesus. Old one. A Blizzard gift card. Some other gift cards. I really should be using something else, but we're going to use that. I want you just start chopping them up while I talk. All right? You can just top one and yeah, just top them in half. They can't use it after that, I don't think. So here's the deal. That's really weird what they're doing. Okay, it's weird because we're chopping up cards in church, but it's weird because nobody does this. But if normal is living paycheck to paycheck and normal is being in slavery, I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be bound by those credit cards. I don't want these to control us. I don't want that. I don't want to be in bondage to American Express, to Discover, to MasterCard, to Visa. So number one, if you want to get out of debt, thank you, Brother Frank, and thank you, Brother Chad, for bringing shears, I couldn't find any. Quit spending more money. Quit borrowing more money, that is. Don't borrow any more money. That's the number one step. Number two, you ready? Save money. We got to save money. Now, the first thing we want to do is save for an emergency fund. And how much is that? $1,000. After you save $1,000, quit saving. For now, quit saving, because now it's time to attack debt. It's time to attack debt now, and you want to pay off all debt except the house. Okay, so if you step number two is baby step one is save $1,000 emergency fund, then stop saving, and all money that's non-retirement goes to debt. That means anything you can think of, and to do this, you got to have a gazelle-like intensity. I mean, like, you're on it. You're in it. You're looking. If your wife has two pair of glasses, sell one pair. If your husband has two pair of slippers, sell the other one. He don't need two pair of slippers. And the other one's probably stinking or flopping around. And you get rid of stuff. You got to do this. You got to. And Dave Ramsey says this, that most people that go into this next stage of paying off debt do it, if they do it with a gazelle intensity, do it in less than 24 months. Now, that's accepting the house. All debts except the house. Not all, but most do. Can you imagine? What is this? What is today's date? May 13th? May 13th, 2019. Could you imagine waking up May 13th, 2021, and being completely debt-free except your house? Go to work and just ask for the boss to bug you. See you, dude. No, I'm kidding. We're supposed to be good employees. But think of the liberty that you would have. Now, step number three. Step one was quit borrowing more money. Step two is save money. Step number three is sell some stuff. Sell so much stuff that the kids think they're next. The dog goes on OfferUp. The cat goes on Craigslist. You sell everything. You know, and there may be some that need to sell a car. Maybe a lot of us need to sell a car. Dave Ramsey talks about driving like no one else so you can drive like no one else. There's nothing like owning a car. It smells better. You know that new car smell? It goes away after a while. I'm telling you, you pay off that. You get a car you paid for. It smells new forever. It's a special thing. So, number three was sell some stuff. Here's another one. Number four is make more money. Now everybody goes, well, yeah. Maybe take a part-time job. Work overtime. More income. Dave Ramsey's grandmother said this, a great place to go when you're broke is to work. There's a surefire way to make money, and that's to go to work. And there really is opportunities out there. And you can only do what you can do, and you got to balance out life. I know that. But there may be a time frame where you want to work a little more time to get this debt done, to get some extra money in play. And I'm your pastor, and my number one goal in life is to see you get to heaven. I want you saved. I don't want you working to the point where you can't go to church and you're losing your priorities. But I'm going to tell you, debt is such a terrible thing. People lose their soul over debt. Absolutely. People make dumb decisions over debt. People's marriages are affected by debt. People leave and move and do things when maybe they're not in the will of God. Sometimes they're in the will of God. I'm not saying moving's not in the will of God. But I don't ever want to be controlled where I have to do something because of money. And so maybe it's time for us to see if we can get a little more income in place. Cleaning houses. People pay $25, $30 an hour. Clean houses. Pizza delivery. Maybe you do that a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Drop your pride and do it for a while. And see some of this thing shrink. Number five, this is a powerful one. Pray about this. If the borrower is enslaved to the lender, if this is really that spiritual, I'm going to tell you, prayer works. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says he is our father that loves us. And if your father, you being a father, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly father give good gifts to them that ask him? He will listen. He wants to bless us. But we got to be in a position where we can be blessed. I want to encourage you, pray about this. Pray with your spouse if you're married. If you're single, pray about it. Maybe talk to somebody. Get a friend and say, I want you to pray with me about my finances. This is a spiritual thing. And this is part of seeing God bless you and bless your life. Now, I really am getting close to being done. Now, the final step after that is number six, the debt snowball. This is baby step number two. Everybody ready? We're going to do this in about 5 minutes. Everybody say debt snowball. Now, how many have heard of the debt snowball? If you have, raise your hand. All right. How many have not? And I'm not embarrassing you. I'd love to see. That'd be great. Cool. Okay. This debt snowball, it's basically, the goal is to pay off all debts except your house. Okay? This is not a math problem. It's not a head knowledge issue. It's based on desire and behavior. I've said it's about how bad do you want to be free? How bad do you want to be free? And this is what you do. You submit yourself to this idea. Here's an idea for you. Okay? That paper that Brother Donovan had, the second one. Yes. The one that says the debt snowball. Okay? If you want to grab that. Now, here are the steps to doing the debt snowball. Most of us, I notice, had heard of it. Probably less than had heard of it, knew exactly what it was, and a few had never heard of it. Very few of us are probably doing this. This is a powerful idea. And here's how you do it. Ignore the paper for a minute. Let me do this, and then you can just take that home and read it, use it for reference. But the first step is this. If you've got debt, all right, take your debts and list them. And this is very important. And this is accepting your home. Don't put your home mortgage in there. You list them on a piece of paper from smallest to largest. And I mean in amount. Don't worry about interest rates. We'll talk about that. List them from smallest to largest. And here's what you do. You take those and you begin to focus on the smallest debt. Say you owe $1,000 on one credit card and $2,000 on another, and you got a medical payment over here of $3,000. Take that $1,000 debt and begin to pay on that smallest one. And on the other ones, just pay the minimum payment, the smallest amount possible. Focus everything on that little one. I mean, sell stuff. Again, put the dog on OfferUp and the cat on Craigslist. Sell them until your kids are nervous. Sell it. All your extra money, bonuses and things that come in, take it and throw it at the debt and pay off number one. And when you pay off that first one, rejoice. Yay! Even if you're not that excited, because it's not that big a deal, the first one. But here's what will happen. You take that all that money you've been paying on that first one, and you focus on number two. And you start paying the minimums on all the others. Focus on number two. Begin to pay that off. And over time, you'll see that paid off. Now, at first, it's not going to be that exciting. But it's going to again begin to gain momentum. There's going to be an excitement. You get down to like five down, you're going to be shouting happy. You're going to be telling people, strangers on the street, you're going to pull them into your house and giving them, you know, cookies and Kool-Aid, shouting over the fact you paid off your American Express bill. Because it's like this. Why? The reason it's called the debt snowball, I think most of us know, but it's, you get a little snowball. You remember when you were mixed snowman as a child? You'd roll it, and it gets bigger and bigger. And as it rolls, you roll it 6 inches when it's this big, and that thing gains, you know, gains half again because it's picking up snow so much bigger. I'll never forget being in Calgary, Canada, preaching for Brother Johnny King years ago. We went up to Lake Louise. Has anybody ever been up that area, Banff area? Absolutely gorgeous, right? There's another lake on the way up to Lake Louise. It's pretty, not near as picturesque. We were standing there looking at this little lake, and I heard a noise. We're in the middle of nowhere. It sounded like a train going right by your head, like an earthquake, like it just, and we're just standing in the middle of nowhere going, what is that? And we looked over, and it had to have been 15 miles away. On a mountain was this avalanche that was happening. And I could see, it wasn't like I saw snow rolling down the mountain, but it was like a waterfall of the power of that. The momentum. I'm telling you, there was nothing that would have stopped that. And that's what we're talking about here. You focus on that first debt, you get that paid off, and then you begin to put that at the second. Over time, there's going to be a momentum that is gained. And it's exciting. It'll happen. This may not happen in the first week, the second week. It may, but most people pay this off in 24 months or less. And can you imagine going into work on that Monday morning and looking at your boss and saying, bring it, dude? The feeling of not being. And here's, I want to address something. How many have heard of the idea of paying off the highest interest credit card first? Of course we all have, right? That makes sense, right? That's mathematically correct. I'm a math guy. I get it. The problem is nobody does it. You know why? Because we need success to keep moving. And if you pay off that first one, the littlest one, it's easier. It's so much easier. You pay that off, it's like, ooh, I can do this. You pay off that second one, I'm making progress. And really, they've done studies for the math geeks that that know you're supposed to pay off the highest interest rate first, they've done studies, and really it doesn't even make that much difference. It's maybe 1 or 2 months difference. It's not that big a deal. And most people do not finish it. They actually had an article in Time Magazine that addressed this and said, you know what? Looks like Dave Ramsey is right. Paying off the smallest to largest versus the highest interest rate to smallest interest rate. Because there's an excitement that begins to grow as you begin to see this happen. All right? And here's the bottom line. This is not a math issue. Because if it was, nobody here would have credit card debt. Can you say amen? All righty. I'm done. But I want to say this. Try it. What do you have to lose? I promise you this. If you get out of debt and you don't like it, Visa will accept you gladly tomorrow. Try it. Give it some time. Give it some effort. Give it some energy. You won't believe the power of being able to. And really, again, debt is such a hoax. Dave Ramsey gave this example. He said, you know, if I go down try to rent an apartment somewhere, and there's an apartment manager, 26-year-old dude, and he says, I walk in. He says, I have zero credit. He's a multimillionaire because he doesn't borrow money. He has zero credit. They would, you know, the 26-year-old dude would call the guy that lives over in L.A. that owns the apartment, and the guy would say, no, he can't stay there. Now, Dave Ramsey could write a check and buy the entire apartment complex, but he doesn't have a FICO number. Does that make any sense? We've been using the wrong metric, folks. 800 don't mean nothing if you're broke. Net worth and ultimately being blessed of God. This is a spiritual thing. I told you the first class, we're going to talk about money because we're talking about money. And I have to talk about money to address money, okay? It doesn't mean we're fixated on it, but we're talking about it. And you need to understand the right metric in measuring where you're at is not a FICO score. It is your net worth. So, I want to talk about some things here. We're done tonight. Let's do this. All right? Let's everybody stand for just a second. What time is it? Somebody know? 8:00 what? All right. 8:07 they said. We okay for a couple more minutes? I haven't heard any babysitters screaming out there, so your child is fine. What's that? Time is money. Nice job. All right, let's do this. Now that you're standing, I'm going to let you be seated. Okay, well, let's take 60 seconds, and let's do a one-minute takeaway. Last week's takeaway was do an emergency fund, $1,000 emergency fund, and write up a budget. If you've not done a budget, I want to encourage you this week, find time, do your budget. You got to do a budget for this to work. But from this lesson tonight, not what I just said, I'm going to give you 60 seconds in just a second and write on a piece of paper. Does anybody need a pen? Can you borrow one? Everybody good? Okay. Just write down a takeaway of what I want to do this week. Maybe something like writing a list of my debts from smallest to largest, beginning my debt snowball. Now listen, don't start the debt snowball. I didn't mean it that way. Don't start it until you've got your $1,000 emergency fund, right? Don't get ahead of yourself. But at least you can put in place, you know, a list when you're ready, the list of your debts from smallest to largest, and be ready. Okay, on your mark, get set, 60 seconds, go. You're writing just a one-minute takeaway of what we had tonight. What would be something, what did you hear? What did you learn? 60 seconds worth.
Seconds.
two, one. All right. Everybody write something down. Somebody tell me what you wrote down. Anybody, just raise your hand. Brother Galen. Gazelle. Gazelle-like intensity. I like that. Anything else? Anybody else? It takes a long time to get a gate. I love that. What's that? Yeah, I understand. Now I know why it hits home for you. That's awesome. All right. We're basically done except for this. Brother Dave Ramsey talks about cutting up your credit cards. He calls it a plasectomy. I like that. A plasectomy. Now, this is obviously a personal decision, but some people need to cut up some credit cards. This works. And bottom line is, if you're that reliant on a credit card, you are spending money you don't have. But it matters how you cut them up. And this everybody got this other paper. It's time for a plasectomy. You got that? All right. It says, here's how you do it. You don't just want to do that and let those cards float out there. Some internet hacker could get them and have a very nice life based on you. But once you've got those credit cards, you need to do this. If you intend to cut up your credit cards, write them down on this paper or a paper somewhere. You need to have the credit card name and the plasectomy date, the cancel date, and so that you'll know them when you cut them up. You actually cut them up so you don't spend anymore. That was number one, one of our first steps. Don't spend more money, or don't borrow more money, that is. Big difference. And once you've done that, you'll have this list. When they're paid off, then you call the company, the credit card company. You call the master, and you say, I'm free. I don't need you anymore. And you cancel them. But you can't cancel them while you owe them money, in case you're wondering. Nice try. That's called bankruptcy. All right. So I would encourage some of you, and I would like you to stand now. Okay, and I won't make you sit back down and stand again. I'm sorry. Some of you might want to borrow these, okay, and chop up your credit cards. You don't even need that Sears credit card anyway. Are you kidding me? You don't need Nordstrom Rack credit card anyway. We're borrowing money that we don't have. All of these things have been answered tonight as far as reasons for credit card. Real quick, any thoughts on that? Anybody say maybe there's something I haven't thought about, a reason I shouldn't cut a credit card up? Sister Rebecca. They're saying that they're renting a rental car and they cannot use a debit card. I'm entirely going off of what he said on that one. And I know other, like hotel, etc. So there's some way that it's being done. Sister Jana, do you know the answer? Somebody know the answer? Okay. Okay. Now they right? That's reimbursed at the end. Well, they do that with a credit card too, though. Right. You're saying for a debit card, because they do that for a credit card too. But you got to have the cash in the bank to cover the difference. Got it. Right. Right. But it would be larger than whatever the spread is for a credit card. So I just recently, and I confess, I used a credit card to rent a car. And I can't remember, you know, it was relatively cheap, $60, but they, you know, there was a hold of like $300. So apparently a debit card, there's going to be that and maybe a more, which is interesting because it's cash versus, but that, okay. So apparently it's done. I'll look into it a little more and so I can have a better answer. And if you'll remind me next week. But perhaps that's the issue, is just having that margin. Okay, good question, good answers. Thank you. Any other, Brother Brian? I don't think so. I think your FICO score is going to be affected. But ultimately, here's what you got to remember. The FICO score is a false metric. Okay? And those, why are we doing this? Just to be weird and have scissors at the class? No, because if you can do that, you want to ultimately be self-insured. You're paying with cash for everything. And when you have a credit card, McDonald's has found you spend 47, I don't know, if, let me say it this way. With cash, you spend 47% less. That is across the board. The pain center of your brain is not triggered with credit cards, at least to the same extent. Cash does. There's no exchange there. When you give somebody cash, literally, and I know you're standing, I'm sorry. When you give somebody cash, you've given them something in return for something. When you use a credit card, you get them both back. You know, I get my credit card and I get the stuff. So to answer your question, it probably will affect your FICO score if that's what our life revolves around. So, but ultimately what you're headed to is a place of being debt-free, living with cash. Think about it. This is a paradigm shift. But are we pushing to spend more than we make? Is that what it's about? That's what a credit card is. It's borrowing money. There's no way else to look. And these people aren't doing it because they love us. Visa don't love us. They live in tall buildings because they're making money off of us. That's why they give us a 1% in airline miles and let us fly for free. Isn't that nice? No. They're making lots of money. Sister Mary. Paying off monthly. It does, and if you have a credit card, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna back away from it. All right, if you have a credit card, that's absolutely the way to live. Pay it off monthly. There's no question. I mean, why give them interest? Okay, but again, the reason for this kind of thinking is you spend more money. When you have a credit card, you spend more money. Somebody raising their hand over here? Yes. If you have those cards, the coupons from your book, please make sure you get those to Sister Ramon. One last question, Brother Ronnie. I want to make sure I understand the question. You using a tax refund or
no, so
okay? You know what? Here's the thing, and there may be some specific questions. The key is listing them from smallest to largest because of that success deal. If you don't feel a little bit of success every now and then, you're not going to keep going. We're just human nature. They've done studies and tests on this. So you may be, and again, I can't figure out everything, but the principle is this, and we can talk about the specifics of it after, but the principle of it is this, is instead of trying to outthink this system, is do smallest to largest and let that momentum grow. The interest rate may hurt a little bit. Now, there may be an outlier that I don't know about. Like, say you're paying 150%. You got some money changer that wants his pound of flesh and he's going to break your knees. All right. Okay. There may be something like that. Okay. But in the main, line them up smallest to largest and let that momentum grow, the excitement. Okay. Now, one last question I'm going to ask. Do we do this before we get our emergency fund, the $1,000? Ooh, $1,000. Let's do a budget, $1,000 emergency fund. Sell stuff. Pizza Hut. Clean houses. I don't know. You're creative people. Deliver yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this great group of people. Thank you for the promise of your word that there is an answer. If we are in surety, you've given us an answer, and I'm asking you to bless your people, strengthen your people. God, I ask that you would just begin to open the windows of heaven as we begin to move things around, that you would move things around as only you can, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. This is a different way of thinking, but has the other way worked? God bless you. Instead of giving Sister Jennifer the names, because Sister Oman is here, if you'll just make sure you get These are people that have bought the books through the church for $99. Please see her and she can get you set up.